You were listening to Ladies POV with Yo Amika. Let's get this show started.
Hey, hey, hey. This is Ladies POV. And she is
Yolanda.
And again, this is Ladies POV, powered by Anchor. You can hear us on all streaming platforms if you wish.
Mm-hmm. Yolanda,
how are you?
It's been rough. And I guess I can even say that I've been better, but I'm making it. How about you?
I'm making it.
I am
just taking everything one day at a time, pretty much.
Absolutely.
Just taking everything one day at a time, just trying to, stay in my lane and stay focused and just do, everything that needs to be done around this house and with school. Just a lot. It's a lot. But I will say I feel accomplished.
Good
because
deal.
I did finish my my accounting class that I started taking once we were been off for the pandemic. I started taking it. And I finished. I had about to finish by June 1st. I wanted to finish a little earlier, but I finished nonetheless on the last day.
Good job.
So, sigh of relief. You hear me?
Right.
A whole sigh of relief.
I'm not even mad at you. But
me and Matt are not the best of friends, and I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, but I learned a lot. It was good to know.
Okay.
Since I, want to run a business and I want to be able to learn all aspects of the business and not just, running my business. I want to be able to know what my books are like and how much money I have and all that good stuff.
Of course. Very important part.
It surely is because can't trust everybody. Can't have everybody in the pot.
No, not at all.
Put your trust in somebody and then they screw you over. We've seen that too many times.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
As we've heard those horror stories, so.
Yes, especially with a lot of athletes. That happens a lot, so.
Definitely.
They don't realize that they are the business and they need to learn how to manage that themselves.
Absolutely, they do, but some of them know, some of them don't.
Yeah. So, but it's good. I'm glad that you were able to get that finished.
Yes, thank you. I am too. I'm like, oh my God, I can breathe. I can sleep at night because I was up, till like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, working on it.
That's a lot.
And, still getting up at 7 o'clock.
Right.
In a few hours. I mean, I don't know how I did it. Actually, I do know how I did it because I haven't like really eaten out. I've been cooking.
Yes. Well, which most people think I have.
And don't, go and get drive through food.
Right.
I feel so good. Like I got so much energy and everything. It just feels good.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Some good things come out of this pandemic, believe it or not.
Absolutely, they do. But we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Man.
Good at least because it's real. It's real out here.
I mean,
it's real out here. We're in a pandemic, like you said. We're in the middle of a pandemic right now.
Right.
COVID-19 has not gone anywhere.
No.
Although we're not hearing about this much these days.
Not lately. Because we've had the what do you want to call it? Social unrest. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this because I mean, I know everybody's talking about it. Okay, so recently, I guess, we're going to just kick it off with George Floyd.
Yeah, that's the latest.
Right. That was the, you know, the African-American gentleman who recently died because he was detained by police. And the way that they detained him, well, at least the one officer felt the need to put his knee on the back of his neck as he was handcuffed and laying face down on the ground. So the videotape is, I mean, it's just, there are just so many directions that I, you know, just want to go from the young lady who videotaped it, or at least the videotape that we saw of it, or at least I saw of it, to everybody. I mean, even till this very night, with the protests or even rioting in some places because of this act. And I don't think that it's just his death that's happening. I think initially, especially in Minneapolis where this happened, I think initially it was because of him. But I think now with the worldwide protests that people are just sick of it. You get sick of hearing the story. You get sick of hearing of things because you just, there has to be an end. You cannot keep doing this and not necessarily sweeping it under the rug, but acting as if though this is just how it goes. And this isn't how it goes because there have been numerous other situations, could be the exact same situation, where somebody who is not of color doesn't get treated like this. And it's just so unfortunate. I'm just beyond anger at this point with the situation, because you see certain things and you figure, hey, you know, you figure if the police saw one incident, yeah, we got to do better to make sure that we don't end up like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In a situation where, especially nowadays, everybody has their phone out. Everybody's recording everything.
Yeah.
And you would think that, you know what, I better think twice. And then for three other officers who were there, as this one officer had his knee in the back of his neck, not to do anything, especially when Mr. Floyd is saying, I can't breathe. He is obviously in distress. I mean, it's, you know, things just need to be, people aren't going to tolerate it anymore. People are just aren't going to tolerate it anymore.
And I'm glad you said what you said about how it initially, you know, started off as the protest for Mr. Floyd, but you know, so just people are tired. People are tired of this happening. It keeps on happening.
Yes.
It keeps on happening. And for what?
Yeah.
For what? Nobody needs to listen. If the police are, if they're gonna stop you, that's one thing. If you're in violation or whatever, if you're doing something wrong, absolutely stop this person. You do not have to kill this Black man, this Black woman. There's no need for you to kill this person. For what? Because you feel threatened? Are you threatened by the color of their skin? Because that's what I think it is sometimes. That's what I think it is.
And I think that's what it everybody tries to say, you know, well, at least the police officers try to say in all these instances that that's not the case. But it appears that it appears to be that, because let's think about why you initially stopped this gentleman. Forgery.
Right.
You stopped him for
over a counterfeit $10 bills is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So he's got counterfeit bills. And it wasn't enough that you already had handcuffed him. It wasn't enough that you had him on the ground on his stomach. It didn't appear to me that he was resisting in any way, even at this point, that you had to put your knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes. He's calling for his mother. He's telling you that it is, you know, he is having difficulty breathing. You did not let up.
Evil. That's pure. To me, that's pure evil.
And
that
I think
pure evil.
What, it, it was, I think it was good that, you know, immediately they were fired. But then the fact that they weren't arrested. So then I think that just, you know, a whole nother, you know, string of feelings came out behind that. Like, you know, okay, you fired them, but that's just, you know, people are, again, not enough. It's not enough. Because too many officers in too many of these situations have walked away.
Yeah. Walked away free, like nothing ever happened. We shouldn't have to have, it shouldn't be an uproar. We shouldn't even have to be at this point right now where there are riots and where there are protests.
Absolutely. But
with the riots, we should not be at that point right now because all they had to do was arrest them.
That's
all they had to do initially. All they had to do was arrest them. We wouldn't be going like this, but because people have been cooped up in the house for months
due to COVID,
people have lost their job due to COVID. Now you got a man that another man dying because he was shot down by the police. People, like you said, people are tired. People are tired and they got time on their hands now.
Yes.
So we do whatever we can do now to make y'all understand, and we need some help. But what I know is after all of the, like, after the riots and the protests calm down, what's the next step?
It has to be some serious sit down talks. There has to be talks.
Because we can't keep doing this to our cities. We can't keep tearing the cities down and burning them down. I get that you're tired. I get that. I get it.
Right.
I understand that completely. It should not happen. Like, this should not be happening. But now, okay, we need to calm down. We need to talk. Like you said, there has to be some serious talks between, I don't know who, I guess, what, local officials and the higher up. Something has to happen.
Something needs to change, even nationwide, with policing. How it's done, how folks are hired, how you're trained. Because I think at the same time, too, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, when somebody tells you you can't do something, you know, you feel like, oh, I just can't even do my job now. And it's not that we don't want you as police officers or law enforcement to not do your job.
Right.
But we want it, but there needs to be some level of distinction, some level of, you don't even have to have compassion for the person, but you do have to understand that every situation doesn't need an extreme.
No, it doesn't, because we want to be able to feel safe if we're stopped. Like, there should be no reason why, if we get stopped by the cops, that we have to either put our phone on record, put a video on, call a friend real quick.
There
should be no reason why that happens.
Because
I'm not saying that it's going to happen with all the bad, like all the cops. All cops are not bad. We know that too. I know plenty of good cops out there, but those bad ones outshadow the good ones.
And it's hard because I don't even want to say, because for police officers, we shouldn't have to say, not all cops are bad. We should not say none of them should be bad at all.
No, they should not.
This is not the type of occupation where you can afford to have bad apples. All the apples need to be good. Because again, you're policing the American public.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to feel worried about, I really need a police officer's help, but I'm really not sure if I want to ask for the police officer's help because it might end up turning on me just because. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't have to feel nervous. I don't want my African-American son to feel like I can't talk. I can't ask them for help.
Yeah. Ask for help, for directions, anything. You might need that officer's help. You might need an officer's help. But like you said, you don't want to not approach them because you're scared. Because they might think, you know, something else. And then that situation that was easy, now you end up, you know, in another situation. Like, we don't have time for that.
You know, because, I mean, I've been sitting here looking, and I know that, you know, it's kind of all over the place. But, you know, I've been sitting here, you know, thinking about the numerous times that we've lost African-American men and women.
Mm-hmm.
to, I mean, I've been looking at the situations to such police violence. You know, I mean, anywhere from I'm going to get my wallet out of my jacket.
Yeah.
I'm going into the glove compartment to get my wallet.
Yeah.
I'm running away.
I have my hands up. What do you need me to do next?
I'm running away from you. Yet you feel the need to shoot me in the back because I'm threatening you as I'm running. My back is to you. I'm illegally selling cigarettes. I'm in this instance. Okay, maybe I'm passing around phony tens. These are very minor things.
Yeah.
That you're either stopping somebody for or pulling somebody over for, where men and women have lost their lives. And a lot of them have been recorded or, it has some sort of video with it. A lot of this stuff has happened. And again, like we said before, there doesn't seem to be any punishment or real punishment for the officers that are involved. So, a lot of people don't feel like justice has ever been really served. But then I compare it to other situations. You shoot up a school. You shoot up a church, you shoot up a nightclub, and it's like, excuse me, sir, we'd like to put these handcuffs on you, and we'd like you to get in the back of the car.
Oh, you're hungry? Okay, so we can pull over to the Burger King and get you something before we take you down to the station and book you. Is that okay? Like, come on.
I mean, and they're killing, you know, they're killing dozens of people at a time. And killing people, hold up hostage situations, you know, where they've holed up in some place. And you've done everything you could not to harm these people. Yet, again, like I said, something as simple as illegally selling cigarettes outside a store.
Mm-hmm.
That you
sell black market stuff.
Should you lose your life because of that? I mean, okay, fine. I'm not saying don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the people are not doing wrong. I'm saying that's what I want to make too.
I'm not saying that they're not in the wrong because obviously if they were stopped,
right?
There may have been a reason that they were stopped.
Right, but
we're not saying that.
But you're not losing your life from an officer of the law. You're not going to lose your life with that. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable, and it just I can't. I mean, people are. I mean, I talked to my brother. You know, he is. You know, I worry about him as well. You know, he's worried. With the protests that happened in the city this week, his restaurant one of the windows was broken out, so they had to board everything up. He's just like, this is crazy. How can the president allow this to happen? And I mean, that leads into a whole nother thing because this guy here is all about show. He's all about show. And it's really difficult for me because the country is going through so much right now, between, you know, the corona now and these protests. It is just he's not the shoulder that the nation needs right now.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's not. And he's not a real leader.
Yeah.
He's not being a leader right now. Like you said, it's all for show. He's fueling the fire is what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's all he's been doing since, you know, these things have been happening. He's just been fueling the fire and that's it. And thinks that, you know, whatever little things that he's doing is gonna be the end all to the situation.
Yeah.
And it's not. He's fueling this. And I feel like, and I've been saying this, you know, my mom and I discussed this, but, you know, initially the things were for George Floyd. You know,
right.
People at Black Lives Matter, right? I feel like, you know, they're using that platform. They're hopping on this BLM train
Mm-hmm.
Because they are frustrated with police. They're frustrated with leadership in this, you know, in this country right now. So they're just, everything is just coming out at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is coming out at one time. So, you know, they're just like, you know what, whatever. We just going to do what we can do right now because we kind of have the platform and stage right now. So we're just going to just everybody do everything. And we just going to protest it all because we need some change around here. That's what I feel like. I ain't mad at it at all. The only thing I don't want to see, like, the only thing I did not understand was why the looting. Like, why did they burn down the Target initially? Because I did not understand that. Like, what did Target do? What did Target do to y'all that y'all had to burn down the Target? I didn't understand that.
Well, I think it was, I wanted to say, I think it was just kind of in the way. I mean, yeah. Right there, you know, big, you know, store.
I mean, they laid me out on Twitter. Like, what do you mean? Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious right now. Like, why did they have to burn down the Target? I wasn't understanding that. Somebody lost their life. And now they're going to burn down the Target. Like, people already have lost jobs. So now you want to mess up people's jobs even more. The country's trying to open back up.
Well, and I think that's what troubles me about it as well, because the country is trying to open back up. And then you have something like this now where even if you were opened up maybe for the past week or so like that, even at a minimum, you were open. Mm-hmm. You had to close back up because you couldn't, you can't, you know,
it's a fear of, you know, they might come business. To your establishment
and
take your stuff.
You know, I mean, and it's just sad, like I said, because now you got to clean up behind all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I was
driving down 14th Street the other morning, just looking, because I wanted to see what the aftermath was for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, just seeing all the things boarded up. And the, you know, the tags everywhere. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I never thought that I would see something like this in my lifetime. I remember reading about this stuff in the textbook. You know, we've talked about this before. I remember reading about this stuff.
Right.
But, you know, we are living history right now. We are living history right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about that.
You're going to be reading about this that happened in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, this year in general, I mean, even if things get better from like today on, this first, you know, like 6 months will be, I mean,
this first 6 months is a mouthful already.
Already. I mean, and I don't know.
From Skills, the rapper who does the wrap-ups every year, he was like, it's only June 1st. And I'm thinking about the wrap up and what we, you know, what I have to say in it already. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I said these first few months have been a hell of a ride.
I mean, it's, but like I said, it's just that you, oh man, I mean, people are at their wits end just with everything in general, because I think at the same time, I think that you kind of feel that you've kind of been misled. Well, at least I think, you know, logical thinking people think that they've been misled, that they've been
hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Yeah, I mean, really, because, you know, you have the beginning of the year. I don't even know how to say it in words. It's just so frustrating because here you have the president of the United States. You're getting information about this pandemic now.
Mm-hmm.
You, as far as I'm concerned, you pushed it under the rug until it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could have contained it, you know, or had better control over it had we done a couple few things at that particular time. But you chose to make the decision for yourself and not for the American people to do what you wanted to do. So now, at the last second, everybody is scrambling for whether it's supplies, whatever it is, and you're shutting the nation down.
Yeah.
So now, people don't even have there was no opportunity. There was no lead up to this. It was just like, boom, yeah, people, the cases are coming in. We got to shut it down. Yeah. There's only way we're going to do this.
We're able to shut it down. That's all we can do for right now.
So now you have people, you know, sitting at home. You have people sitting at home. You okay, fine. You gave them a little stimulus. Okay, that's cool, too. Things have gotten to be, you know, again, something new that scientists are dealing with, medical people are dealing with. So we're learning about it as we go along. You find, okay, you know, just wear a face covering. Like I said, you're trying to get these things out. And for a second, I thought maybe you were trying to make the American public feel a little bit comfortable. But you kind of didn't, because then just when you start to get that warm and fuzzy feeling, you do stuff like, well, you know, if the states feel like they can, they can open up, then, you know, there's not a lot of cases over there, then they should go ahead and do what they feel is necessary. Huh? Excuse me? because, and I do understand that some places are not as hard hit as other places.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have people who, let's just say, what is that? Is it South Dakota, working in meatpacking plants where they're on top of each other and 20% of their workforce has gotten it? And they are basically that town, and now the town has it. I mean, come on, you can't give people the opportunity to take care of it themselves. You need to make a stand and say, hey, no, look, this is what's going to happen. Everybody's just going to have to, you know, grin and bear it for a minute. And then when it's over, everything will be okay. But as we've talked about before, too, you're worried about the bottom line.
Yeah.
You're not worried about anything else, but you're just worried about the bottom line. You're worried about how is business going to be affected. That's why you want to reopen so soon. You know, as I said before, we have to go through it just like the other countries had to go through it. You have to go through it in order to get to a point where you can really start to go open up and people can really start coming out.
Right. And for people to feel comfortable.
You can look at these other countries, and even as they started to open up, they started to get a few more cases.
Yeah.
So it's not totally gone from everywhere yet. I don't think that it's going to ever be totally gone. I think it's just going to kind of teeter off a little bit, taper off, and then it's just probably going to pick back up again.
I would like to see what's going to happen in the next few weeks with, you know, all of these protests and stuff happening. Yes, these people have their masks on. Are they social distancing? Absolutely not.
No. I mean, they have the mask on, and I think... And if you ask me, it's mostly because I think the peaceful protesters have their masks as general. I mean, just saying, because generally going down there, like I said, trying to, you know, go by the CDC guidelines, you know, they try to do that. But I think what ends up happening now is that you have face coverings to try to shield yourself from the tear gas or whatever, pepper sprays and things like that. That's why, you know, most of the time you have the mask on. Now, this could be a good or a bad thing, but we won't really know this, like you said, until after things have probably have calmed down and we see whether or not people are sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or people getting tested. Because, I mean, even now, still, even just with regular, without the protests, I mean, people are, they're starting to open up where you can go get tested, well, at least in the area, that you can go get tested whether you're sick or not. So basically anybody can go and get tested if they want to.
Drive-through testing sites now.
But at the same time, my thing is, if you don't feel sick, how many people are really going to do it?
Exactly. Because I surely would not. I'm not going to get a test. I don't feel sick. Not one bit.
Nope. But then again, some people might feel like, hey, I've been around, or maybe because I was essential and I was working, a few people in my office got it. Even though I'm not sick, I'm going to test and see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know how this is going to, you know, will affect the numbers per se.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a little something different. And like I said, it's just not, I can't, the police officers are trying their best, you know, to wear the mask and the facial coverings too. And I know it's difficult. I just know it's difficult. And I just can't, the combination of the two situations, it's just, this is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
It is just a disaster. Now, I mean, on the flip side of that, yeah, we need to figure, you know, we do need to figure some things out because we can't keep allowing stuff like this to happen. And we can't keep using rioting or looting as a form of a protest. I mean, there, like I said, there are people who are peacefully protesting it, but I mean, we just can't let it come down to whether or not I need to keep my doors, you know, get bars on my doors, or, you know, yeah, I need to get myself, you know, or arm myself because I'm afraid that people might even come into houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, yeah.
I know it's a lot. It's just it's a lot. It's a lot going on. It's a lot to take in, you know. And we just have to, you know, thank God first of all that we're safe, that we're okay, and you know, just pray.
Right.
Pray for your kids. You know, pray over your friends, your family, your loved ones. Just pray because.
Yeah,
tomorrow's not promised. I mean, we just gotta pray just to make it today. In the words of the great MC Hammer,
yeah, there you go. I mean, because like I said, and I think what happens too is I was listening, young lady who heads up the division or the part of Black Lives Matter here in the area, you know, mm-hmm. She was saying, you know, it's very difficult because you're going out there, you're rioting, you know, the rioters and looters, you're going out there doing all that and then saying Black Lives Matter or having a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and that's not what we're about.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah.
Like I said, we need, once this calms down, like, there really needs to be some right. action behind this, like some real change. No hashtags, no t-shirts, no right. protests. We need some real live change after this, and I'm sure we can make it happen. It's not going to be overnight, you know. It's not going to be overnight, but we can make it happen. And let's not forget that people are going to be who they are. If you're racist, then, you know,
it's unfortunate that's how you're going to be. I mean, because this is no different than, you know, like this is no difference right to me right now. You can't compare to what they went through with the civil rights movement, but it's mm-hmm. still kind of no different than that because you're still fighting to get that equality for people to understand. And you really still are actually getting people to accept you, because if you can have somebody who knows that they can use African-American male and you're obviously a Caucasian female and you know that you could call the police and say that and it will have them come out. Not just somebody's attacking me, but an African-American man is attacking me. Then you know that the racism is still alive and well.
Alive and well. And it's not going anywhere. And I've had conversations with, you know, many people. Advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you are. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. But, you know, I just thank God that I grew up in a diverse area. And I'm not saying that I hate, you know, I don't have hate for anybody, because hate is a strong word. I have friends of all backgrounds.
Same here.
So, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and I can't stand. I'm not even on that train. I'm not on that train. But you know, and I get that some people may not say anything. Am I upset at those people?
Yeah.
No, I'm not upset. Some people are, you know, well, your silence and silence does speak volumes. It definitely does. But you got to just consider, like, how people grew up, where they grew up, what they have going on. I don't know. Maybe that's just me in my heart. I have a big heart. So, you know, again, I don't hate anybody. I'm not.
Yeah, I know. Because when people say, you know, I don't see color. And I know that that's not a figurative you know, saying. Yeah. I mean, because obviously you can tell that people are different.
Mm-hmm.
But see, like, for me, it's so hard because it's everything, again, everything is a time frame. Everything is a time frame. What time frame did you grow up in? What was going on the time that you were growing up? And I think for me, in a time frame where we were growing up on base in a military family, if any of that was going on, maybe my father would maybe affected him in some way with the military in particular. But growing up, actually growing up with other kids around, I think it was more of a, for us, it was more of a, when you got to certain bases, it was more of a class. Officers' kids, officers' kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the NCOs' kids. So you kind of got that. But even at that, we were all still, you just lived on a different part of the base. That's all. Oh, you live over here. Oh, your father's an officer. But, you know, there were some kids who knew, you know, who knew who they were. So, you know, right. they kind of played that a little bit, but it was never about what color you were.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, especially a lot of people that I grew up with, we were all mixed. Half of, you know, we were half something. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, and it didn't matter, too. Not just Black being half of something. There were quite a few white folks that were half of something, too. I mean, it was,
right.
But, you know, we were mixed. So, they were full African American children or full Caucasian children, but everybody was so diluted that it really didn't matter. I don't think I really got hit with all of that until I got stateside, and mm-hmm. it was like wow, you know, this is,
yeah. Then you probably got the, well, what are you?
You know, it's really crazy, and especially, you know, coming from that environment, coming into the Washington D.C. area, you know, and as you know. Chocolate City, it's like, mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever been around that many African-American people of all walks, you know. I was just like, wow, it was definitely a culture shock, because I had never been like that. But I, at the same time, you know, again, I still didn't treat anybody any different. I didn't see that there was a need to. And right. I think that until I got hit with my first dose of racism, you know, I was like, huh? Like, because I'm Black? I you know what I'm saying? I just, yeah, and I think that's when it started, you know, like really the realization started coming in, like, you know, people actually still think like that. And it's just had me thinking, you know, in different situations. You know, now I'm a little bit more careful. I take things and I'm like, okay, well, for what it is on the surface. But sometimes I dig a little bit deeper, like, is that really, are they really doing it because of that? Because I don't like to pull that. I don't like to come out and just say, oh, you doing that because I'm Black. I don't like to think that way. But when I do see it happening, I make note of it in a, you know, mental note. And I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing here. You know, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it, but I mm-hmm. see what they're doing, you know, I think that, you know, what happens with folks these days, again, I think that on the surface, maybe we're all trying to make it okay. And I don't even, we're trying to make it okay. But there's so many deep-rooted, I don't want to even say stereotypes, deep-rooted, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to say it. But it's just, it's kind of ingrained in the culture.
Yeah, like there's some, yeah. Like
the past is like really ingrained in the culture. So you won't find a lot of, so you'll find African-Americans fighting each other more than you'll see them fighting somebody else. Because that mentality of, the lighter ones being in the house, the darker ones working in the field. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's always a clash. Yeah. Always better than, and we don't realize that they're pitting us against each other.
Against each other, exactly. And I hate that. Like, that's still like that bothers me. That really that bothers me so much. Because some people, you can tell, like, some people just have so many issues with that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So that's why it's like, it's so hard for the, you know, for the African-American community to kind of grow, because you're so worried about what the next man has, and you don't want crabs in a bucket.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Crabs in a bucket. And it's unfortunate, because when you see, you know, you always wonder how other cultures, you know, I mean, even if it's just, you know, Asian families or Jewish families, Jewish communities, when you see these communities, they're kind of thriving, or at least they keep their own.
All the time.
And you're like, well, how come we don't have that?
And I have said that for so long. I've said that for so long. Like, you look at any other culture, like you said, you look at the Asians, you look at Hispanics, you look at the Jewish community, you look at those people, and they are working, they're working together, they help each other out. It's not a problem. Of course, you know, they're gonna fight too, but it's not like us. We don't, you know, a lot of us don't want to help the next person out. A lot of us don't want to, you know, we don't want to share information. That's a problem. We looking at, you know, a light-skinned person thing else. She thinks she all that. A dark-skinned person, oh, well, they, you know, they wrong, and they probably still, like, you know, just those stereotypes, I can't stand it.
Right.
I can't stand it. And right. It's a shame. Like, we got to get up out of that. We have to get up out of that for ourselves. Like, there should be no reason why, you know, they look at a dark-skinned person
right.
going to the store, like, you staring that person down, like, they are a thug, or, you know, like, they, not, I shouldn't say a thug, but, like, they are a bad person, and, like, they about to steal. You shouldn't look at that person that way. But then you got a light person that walks in, and, you know, you still looking at them, but you're not looking at them as if...
Right.
You're not looking at them like as hard as right. you look at the dark skinned person. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
I mean, because you don't. I mean, like I said, because it could be just like your girl is in Central Park. This man has a degree. He's got, you know what I'm saying, he's got a fantastic job. You know what I'm saying, he's just out bird watching. But you,
yeah, bird watch
because he. It's because he wants you to put a leash on your dog, which is the law.
Yeah. And you acting like you being attacked. You caused all of that. You did all that. Oh, I'm being attacked. And the dog was attacking you. The dog
And it's unfortunate because, you know, he's darker skin.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. But this is the, like, again, I don't want to say stereotype, but this is the mentality that everybody gets stuck in, because it's not just within our culture. That's how everybody on the outside also sees it, because, again, it has been ingrained since forever that this is how it is. OK, you know, they're bad. They're, you know, they're kind of bad news, or, you know, you got to keep your eye out on the dark ones.
Yeah.
You
know?
Because they've been out in the fields and whatnot. They, you know, they're the labor. And, you know, the ones, you know, they're, you're in your home, they're taking care of your home. That, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to, you know, there's no chance of them trying to revolt, you know, per se.
Right, right.
They're not going to give you problems like these ones out here. I mean, seriously, that's just what it, you know, that's what it just feels like. That's what it feels like. And it's, like I said, it's an unfortunate situation. I think, and like I said, I think that when, you know, we say, how do we resolve this? How does it get fixed? Again, our community itself, African-American community, needs to really sit down within ourselves and work out our issues.
Yeah, because we definitely have issues to be worked out. That have stand for a long time.
Right, before you could work them out with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because don't get me wrong, I was talking with a coworker of mine as well about it, and it was just, it was, you know, she was, we don't get anything as African Americans in this country. We don't get anything without the help of others. Whether it's, you know, civil rights, right to vote. As women, we don't yeah. get women's rights. We don't get that without the help of men. You know, so everybody needs each other. Okay. Yeah. Everybody needs each other. But again, that can only take us so far. Because again, within our own community, I think if we were stronger as a community, I don't think that it would be like this or quite like this. I think we'd have incidents, but I don't think it'd be quite like this.
Yeah, I don't think you would either. But if you know, like, this is...
Because I think that we'd actually police ourselves. I think we would actually police ourselves better.
I think so. I believe that. It's just, again, this is just unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that this, you know, that these things keep happening to us. But then I also said, too, you know, we got to stop the black on black.
Yeah, that's it. That
has to stop too.
Because and
for me saying that, but that has to stop. No,
because how you treat yourself is how others will treat you.
Exactly, and you want respect, but you're not respecting your own. You out here shooting up and killing, you know, your own brother, your own sister, mm-hmm. but not in some neighborhood that you own nothing. But
and that's the whole thing. You don't. So it's not. So I think that, and I think that's another thing too. Because you don't own it, you are. You feel like whatever. You know.
Yeah, and you definitely feel whatever, because if you own something, you're not gonna want to shoot that up. You're not gonna want to trash your own, like, something that you own. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But when it's not yours, you don't care. That's just like if you borrow something from somebody. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I broke it. Oh, well, it ain't mine anyway. I'm going to just give it back. Right. No, you got to take care of people's stuff. You take care of your stuff when it's yours.
Exactly. And, like, you know, well, I get, you know, like I said, again, that's just, you know, it's like a kid's growing up. You're like, yeah, you know, you breaking stuff all the time. Wait till you start paying for your own stuff.
Then you Exactly, because you know the value of it.
Yeah.
You know the value. You understand the value of that dollar. You understand the value of that video game or whatever, that CD or whatever that you bought. You understand the value of it.
Yeah, because you worked hard to get that and to get what you wanted, and then when somebody else, you know.
You don't want nobody else to come and take your stuff.
Or break it or whatever.
Break your stuff.
So, but I think that, like I said, I know that as Americans in general, as a nation, I know that we'll bounce back from it.
Yeah, tough times don't last always, and we are just going through a tough time right now.
But moving forward, it's just gotta. It just really has to be before the next one, before there's another one. I mean, serious talks need to happen. And I mean, you know, I mean, people really need to sit down and think about it and be mindful of what is really going on.
Yep.
Again, everything is so visual right now, especially because, like I said, everybody's videotaping everything.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere without somebody have their camera up and they're taping something. You can't go anywhere without
lack of anything.
They have, you know, on the doors, security cameras on the houses. It's a constant state of Big Brother watching.
Yeah, exactly. It's the words out of my mouth. Big Brother is always watching.
And most people are doing it for their personal safety. I mean, well, you know, you figure, okay, like especially like those Ring doorbells or those camera doorbells. Okay, I'm going to see somebody stealing my packages. Then you get the, there's a lot of stuff going on in the city. We're trying to catch people doing just wrong in general in certain neighborhoods. Well, we'll give you money to put a camera up as long as law enforcement has, we'll be able to access it in the event that something goes on in this neighborhood. Then you just have, big city cameras anyway. I mean, it's just really, there's something everywhere. And then, like I said, again, walking down the street, personal camera, people are quick, something's going on, they're quick to videotape it. I don't even know how people do it that fast, because I can't pull my phone out fast. And by the time I get all that set up, it's gone. Whatever happens, happens.
Exactly. I have my camera on my screen, on my home screen. Mm-hmm. And I still can never capture it so fast. People are quick with it. Yeah. They are real quick with it. I ain't mad at them for it. Like, keep on taping things. Because you never know what clue it might help solve, or what you might help cash or anything. You never know what you could use that recording for.
You never know. But at the same time too, because of that, people need, you need to be aware that it is going on. So if you are up to know this, or if something, if you're doing something that is not exactly savory, you might be the next one. I mean, because again, you can go on anything, YouTube, especially YouTube. You can find videos for anything that's happened. I mean, whether it's, it's not just YouTube, your World Star, whatever, wherever World you go. Star, to look
Pinterest, at, yeah. Snapchat, all you, of
people
these.
People are posting TikTok, people are posting stuff. Every second of the day, people are posting whatever they see. Now, it might not be that significant. I'm pretty sure that this young lady, when she posted the video of George Floyd, I'm pretty sure she didn't, she thought she was doing something right. She's showing this. So she didn't expect this to be this big of a thing. But here we are. Here we are. Because of that. So like I said, again, this police officer, I don't know if he knew he was being recorded. I don't know. I mean, everything from, even the other, last week when they were, the boys on Bennett Road were fighting the police. The police were getting their ass handed to them too. But I'm just saying though, but I mean, you have everything. I mean, people are putting everything, they're posting everything.
Uh-huh.
You have to be aware on both fronts that what could possibly happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're posting stuff where you catch your own self up.
Yeah, that's true too. That's so true. And I was watching somebody's live the other day because they were protesting in Manassas.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy kept saying, "Oh, we're about to go loot. We're looting the Best Buy." Why are you saying that on film? Why are you saying that right now?
On your account.
Facebook Live.
Yeah, on your account, directly, connected to you.
Exactly.
Because they can't find you in this computer and technological world. They can't find you.
You might not have your face on here, but somebody knows who you are.
Yeah, they can find your account, who the account's registered to, and some more stuff. It's not that hard these days. Yeah. It's really not that hard. You can find anything, anybody. You can find it. And I just know that this has just been a really rough week. This has been a really rough week.
It's exhausting, and it's only Tuesday.
And then, and then this is happening too, where in states, and it's because it's happening everywhere, it's happening in states that have election today.
Yes. Yes.
So the curfew, like DC has the curfew 7 o'clock, although you can vote until 8. It's crazy because now you gotta have like proof why, that you're out, why you're out, reason to be out.
That you're an essential employee.
It's just, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Living these times right now.
It's rough. It's really, really rough. And I don't know if I'm really hoping that this generation of young folks really gets a grasp on what is really going on and how this will eventually affect them in their very near future. Right. Because, I mean, I just don't, when I see the younger ones coming in now, I'm like, you all the ones that are going to be leading this, because y'all not tough enough for me.
Because you can't compare this generation to the 1960s generation, right. You know, that was doing the March on Washington and, you know, all those protests and sit-ins and stuff. You can't compare them because they were tough as nails back in the day. Now, because, you know, we have a whole lot of technology and such,
yes. They're
not as tough. But I do feel like because we've had these protests and these marches, and I feel like this generation, something is going to click. Something has clicked right now for them because they want to see change.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, like, this is, sure, racism is not going anywhere, but we do have a lot of diversity. There's a lot of diversity.
There is.
See, nowadays, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you have many people who are multiracial, not just biracial, but people who are multiracial nowadays. Yeah. You have, you know, you see these images on TV, there's somebody that looks like me, somebody looks like you, somebody looks like, you know, the next person. So you see, you know, it's like we see that. I feel like they didn't have that back in the day.
Right.
So now I'm feeling like they're going to, this generation is going to be the change that we need. Of course, it's not going to happen overnight.
No.
But I feel like they're going to fight. They're going to fight. This right now is the reason why you see so many Caucasians out protesting for Black Lives Matter right now.
Mm-hmm.
They see what's going on. They see what's wrong. They see it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going to have racists. That's not going to be erased.
Right.
I feel like this might be the start of a turning point. I want to see these protests are done. Once these protests are done, and, you know, we, again, not to have the hashtag. We can still have the hashtag, but behind that hashtag, what work is being done? Right. What's the behind the scenes?
Right. Because it's
this generation, I don't think they're going to let us down.
Yeah, because I was really, like I said, again, for me, I was really surprised to see, I hate to tie it into sports because, Roger Goodell came out with a statement for the NFL. Girl, please, God.
I had to bring that up, yes.
But the reason why I say this is because, like, Colin Kaepernick, funding any legal representation that anybody who got arrested in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I think, like, Chrissy Teigen is also, you know, funding, anybody who's gotten arrested. Yeah. You have somebody like Floyd Mayweather, who was paying for the funerals.
For the funeral. Mm-hmm.
You just know that. And that's another thing too, just to see a lot of celebrities coming out and speaking and having something to say. It's really, I really appreciate it because, again, everybody is fed up. I don't think that anybody seeing that video was, I mean, if you weren't moved to, you know, be like, you know what, people, this is it. We just as human beings, we cannot treat each other like this. We just cannot. But to know they're coming out, and it seems to have a lot of momentum, is what I'm saying. Uh-huh. And it seems to be a momentum from and enough people that it's not, even though it's probably going to be on the most common level, but to know that there is a little bit of momentum up there from upper class, you know, well, not upper class, but I mean, I guess, you know, from millionaires, from entertainers, from to know that they are behind this as well. I think that, yeah, I think that there will be something behind the hashtag now. I don't think that it'll just be the hashtag, because it's not like Black Lives Matter is not, you know, they don't get any funding. That's all volunteers.
That's all volunteer, yeah.
They're not making any money. This is not a business. They're you know.
They started a move. I mean, it was just it started a movement, and you know, here we are now.
So, you know, I mean, if we can, if you know, if more if people stick to their guns and what they're saying, and the outpour is what it has been, and people don't let this die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're back to normal. Okay, people, we're not protesting anymore. Okay, I don't want it to be, like I said earlier, I don't want there to be another incident. So let's make sure we're working towards there not being another one. I don't want to have this same conversation or have this same discussion again in a week, in a month.
Because it happened too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like when it happens, it just keeps on happening. Like it's one, two, three. So you know how they say they go in threes? It seems like it happens. It's like once one happens, it's a string of other ones that, you know, it continues to happen. And mm-hmm. We can't keep doing this.
Right.
We can't keep doing this. Like you said, I don't want to have to talk about this next week. Or, you know, a month from now. I don't want to have to talk about this no more.
I want to be talking about positive things that are moving forward, that we're moving forward. I want to, you know, report on, hey, we're making progress in these areas. You know, this is what we're doing, getting out of community, you know, trying to educate other folks, you know, whatever it is, you know, trying to work with law enforcement a little bit better. You know, like I said, you're not going to sit up here and tell me that even I know that there's a code within the law enforcement, but you can't tell me, as working with next to somebody, something's wrong with this guy. You know, he takes things a little bit too far. She takes things a little bit too far.
Uh-huh.
You should be able to, you know, go in and talk to somebody and say, hey, look, I think, you know, I'm going to keep an eye out on Officer so-and-so or Sergeant so-and-so because, you know, they've made some disturbing comments to me, or, you know, some of the actions that they've had, you know, we've hung out after work and some things that, you know, just whatever it is, you should be able to feel comfortable enough to do that within your job.
Yeah.
So that there's not another, you know, there's not another incident like this. Because my thing is, just like those other three officers with him, I've not entirely sure how to pronounce his last name, Chauvin. You know, those are the three officers, because I'm pretty sure that you've seen behavior like this from him before. This is not going to be the first time.
No, and it was, apparently it was not. I mean, for his wife to file a divorce, okay. He's had these issues before. They've probably been covered up, and now it's out in the world to see.
But the bottom line is, guess what? Because you didn't say something about it to somebody before, you lost your job as well. You see what I'm saying? It's going to affect you in some kind of way if you don't say anything, even if it's just your conscience.
Yeah. It'll
affect you.
And like what they say for Metro, if you see something, say something.
I mean, but that's everywhere. If you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Even after 9/11, you see something, say something. Every airport, if you see something, say something.
You know in your heart of hearts when things are wrong. You know that. You know when things are wrong.
And even if it is, and even if it's wrong, even if your instinct is wrong, at least somebody checked it out to make sure. Okay, yeah, okay, no, this everything is good. Okay, well then, cool. I just had this feeling that something was not right, and I wanted to make sure it checked out.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it's just really, like I said again, you know, I'm glad that there seem to be a lot of celebrity type entertainers, whatever, coming through, coming out, speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the ones that you're used to seeing, I guess, come out. I mean, everybody. I'm just looking at them. It's like everybody has had something to say, if not even out there at some of the actual protests themselves.
Yeah, I heard. I haven't been on social media today because I'm participating in Blackout Tuesday. I'm not doing social media today, but I saw on the news that, and you know, some of the celebrities were out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, I really just hope that this is the push and people stay on it to make the changes happen. Because that's the only way they're going to happen. If everybody stays on it and, you know, comes together and it's like, hey, look, this has got to happen.
Put the pedal to the metal, people. And make this change happen.
Yeah. So.
But we are nearing the end of our show.
Oh, wow.
I know. That time, time flies.
It does. And we had, I just had to get some things off my chest about stuff.
I get it. I understand that completely. And I'm glad that you were able to. I'm glad that we have this platform where we can talk about it. So this was wonderful. And this was a good conversation.
Yeah. And hopefully enough people are having these conversations too, so that they can come up with a way, even if you change your daily life, you know, how you see things, your perspective. If you change your perspective, I think that goes a long way.
It does. That definitely does. Like, get to know somebody. Get to know somebody of another race. Get to know their customs and traditions, and you know, let's not be ignorant towards one another. This has to stop. It's 2020. We shouldn't be saying what we're saying right now, but we are. So
yeah,
it repeats itself, and hopefully, you know, we can march for the better.
Yeah, indeed. Like I said, you know, just have those conversations and change what you can, you know. It's not, you know, just like when you don't say, you know, like everybody's saying, you know, oh no, police officers are bad. Not every person out here is bad, no matter what kind of they are.
This is bad. I mean, you know,
everybody out here.
If something, you know, somebody does something to piss you off.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some asses out here. There are people that are asses, and that's just who they are, and you just can't change them.
Exactly, but they can't be changed, and they gonna stick. They gonna be the ass that they're gonna continue to be.
But
I
really feel that a majority of the people are not that, you know. No. A majority of people just want to, you know, live their lives in peace and harmony with you know, with other folks and get on, you know, just get on with, you know, get on with living. So
I always try to see the good in people. I try to see the good in all people, because everybody has some good in them. It takes a person or two to bring that good out, but everybody has good in them. And on that note, we've really come to the end of our show.
No.
Just to end on a positive note. But this was a really good conversation. I'm glad that we were able to have it. If anybody wants to talk about this or join us,
absolutely.
You know, we're here. Hit us up on our social media, Twitter.
Yes, especially if you have young African American sons. I like to hear how you're discussing it with them. Any age, whatever age they are. How are you explaining it to them?
That was my initial question. Like, how are you explaining this to your kids, especially your African American son?
Mm-hmm.
Sons, grandsons, you know, whomever. We would like to know. So
yeah,
if you want to continue on this conversation, we are here and we're able, you know, we're ready.
Yeah.
To have it.
Always.
So thank you guys for listening.
Absolutely.
This has been another episode of Ladies POV. I promise we'll get back to we'll get back to sports when sports, you know, starts to happen again. But until then, we got to talk about these things that are happening. We're primarily sports, but you know, we talk about everything. So
yeah, but everything reaches into there some kind of way. Trust.
It does. It does. It does indeed. So yeah, y'all have a good evening, good night, good morning, whatever time it is that you're listening. And we'll talk to you later, guys. Peace.
See you.